the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Season 3, episode number 10 of the Colonels All Ear Podcast. Calvin Cristoforo, joined by Colonels pitcher Corey Lewis here on the Colonels All Ear Podcast. Coming to you from the broadcast booth and I think Corey's host family's house here in Cedar Rapids. The Colonels are wrapping up the month of July, starting the month of August here with the homestand against the Lansing Lugnuts. Corey, we thank you for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Am I right? Are you in the home?
I am inside my host family's house, yes.
How has that been? Have you ever experienced anything like that before?
I actually haven't. So I never had the chance to play summer ball. So I know that's like a common thing in summer ball, like during college and whatnot. People have host families, but I never got the chance to play summer ball just for like saving innings and whatnot, saving pitches. So yeah, this is my first time having a host family, but I like it. It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. So what is that experience? You know, you've been like, you say it's fun. Who are you with and how's it going?
I'm with Jordan Carr. We have a good time over here. It's a pretty nice house. So yeah, it keeps us busy most of the time. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. And it keeps you busy because you only really go there to the field and back unless, you know, you're playing golf on Mondays. But let's start on the field. I mean, you come up from Fort Myers and you've had so much success, you know, joining the Colonels pitching staff. What has that transition been like from the singular level to the high A level? And how have you been able to, you know, hit the ground running when it comes to pitching well in big games?
Honestly, I haven't really felt the craziest difference. Like, I just think of it as like, you know, it's just baseball. I'm just going to continue to play my game. So I haven't really like put a lot of thought into it, kind of just doing my own thing like I have been the whole year. So try not to change too much, just stick to my routines. And yeah.
Starting pitchers are infamous for having, you know, big time pregame routines. Are you a one that's like, don't talk to me, I'm pitching today? Or do you have a certain routine that you stick to on the day you know you're starting?
I'm pretty open about like, you know, I'm not going to be that guy that's like, oh, don't talk to me. Like, I'll talk to anyone on start day. Like, it's not that big of a deal to me, of course. For pregame routines, I mean, I just go through my stretching routine. That's probably the biggest thing that like stays consistent. I have it's probably like a 20-minute stretching routine that I go through, but nothing crazy. No, like, I don't know, like crazy routines.
Is there anyone on the team that has a crazy don't talk to me pregame pitching routine?
I don't think so. I mean, I never try to talk to him just because I know like some people are like that, but I never really gone into that like that. Yeah.
So you come up from Fort Myers. What are some of the differences? You said it was a smooth transition, but maybe even life outside of baseball. Obviously, Florida's a lot warmer than Cedar Rapids. But what differences have you seen from the singular level here to the high A level?
Definitely the weather. Oh my gosh, it was so hot in Florida, especially with the humidity. Every day is just grueling. You're sweating every time you walk outside. Just instant sweat. But yeah, other than that, I feel like the weather is just the biggest thing, I guess.
You're a California guy, though. You mean, you're going to be used to the warm weather?
Sometimes. For the most part, I think in California, it stays around 80, 85. So it doesn't really get too crazy for where I'm at, especially in college, too. Like, it never got over 90, maybe. So most of the time, it was 75 and sunny, which is beautiful.
Well, let's go back to California. I think it's a good transition. I mean, you're growing up, you know, you're playing baseball in California, obviously a hotbed for baseball. What made you choose, you know, I'm going to go down this baseball path? Did you play any other sports growing up?
No. Well, I played flag football in like middle school. But other than that, it was once I turned 4, I played baseball, kind of following my brother's footsteps, I guess. My middle brother played baseball, got drafted by the A's. So I guess it was kind of just like following his footsteps.
So you really looked up to him, and that's why you made baseball your full-time priority. The Lewises are a baseball household?
Yep, baseball household for sure.
So you're playing a really talented, you know, area of baseball. How, you know, I don't know how hard, how easy it was, probably easier to get better, but playing big-time talent all the time growing up in a place where baseball is life out there. Tell me about that experience playing with some guys that are very good baseball players as you move up the ranks from middle school to high school to beyond.
I think, yeah, the biggest change I think was probably in high school. Like hearing like some of the other stories from the other guys from around the country around here, it's like, okay, like they face some guys that threw like 90, 92. Okay. But in California, we face guys like that all the time. And even like guys up to like 98, 100 at times. So like that was always crazy. The pitching was always there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, you were a hitter too in high school.
I was a two-way guy in high school. Obviously, we'll see how that turned out. You know, kind of got away from that in college, but yeah.
Did those guys throwing, you know, 95 to 100 in high school kind of deter you from going to the offensive route?
Yeah, I kind of knew. I think high school was when I really found out, like, oh, pitching is probably the way to go, just because for me it was just easier, I guess. And I realized that hitting is hard. My brother went through it, so he told me all about it, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to be a pitcher.
So how did you develop, you know, your pitching? Because it's kind of a hard thing to develop because everyone's bodies, you know, progress differently. Velocity, you know, coming up from, you know, nothing when you're little to being a high school guy. What kind of routine and what made you, you know, progress your pitching and your multiple pitches, you know, growing up through the younger levels into high school?
Honestly, I don't think I really did much. I kind of just went out there and pitched with what I had through high school. Like, pitching coaches were always there. But I guess from a developmental side, it wasn't like anything crazy. The real development happened in college, where they changed my fastball, they changed my changeup. Curveball stayed the same. Added a slider, and then the knuckleball has always been there. So I think the biggest changes happened in college.
Well, let's talk about that college recruitment process then. You go to UC Santa Barbara, correct?
Yes.
What was that, you know, process like of being recruited, and why did you pick to the Gauchos? We'll get into that too. I mean, let's start there first of all. Can you explain to me what a Gaucho is?
It's like a Spanish cowboy, I guess, is the best like interpretation of it.
Are those out there in Santa Barbara? You see, like, they're on the streets?
No, probably in the past, but yeah.
So why did you pick there though?
The weather is probably the biggest thing. The weather and it being so close to home, probably about 2 hour drive from home. If you leave at the right time, get through Los Angeles at the right time. If you didn't leave at the right time, it'll take you about 4 or 5 hours. With LA traffic, it's just different. But yeah, the location, the weather, and then the coaching as well.
What was that recruitment process like for you though? Cause it's different for every guy. I mean, did you go through it early? Were you an early commit? Were you a late commit? What was that, you know, time in your life like?
Yeah, I would say I was pretty early in my commitment process. It was after my sophomore year of high school. It was pretty easy for me. I was really only talking to three schools. So it was either UC Santa Barbara, UC Irvine, or Pepperdine. I ended up choosing UC Santa Barbara.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that's the good times roll.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle-Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle-Ear when you experience the Miracle-Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle-Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Calvin Christopher, we're talking to Colonels pitcher Corey Lewis here on the Colonels All Ear podcast, presented to you by our good friends over at Miracle-Ear. This is season number 3 and episode number 10. Okay, you say your pitches developed more when you got to college. Go a little bit more deeper into that. What do you mean they got developed more when you got there?
I think access to TrackMan and Rapsodo really helped a lot. So I never had access to that in high school. And then once I got to college, it was a big thing, and they used it for everyone. So I think that was pretty awesome for us at Santa Barbara to have that, those analytical points to look at, just to see what our pitches are doing and like how to make them better and why this pitch is doing that and stuff like that.
And everyone, when they see Corey Lewis, the headlines are knuckleball, you know, knuckleball, knuckleball, knuckleball. I'm sure you do these all the time. People want to ask about the knuckleball. We'll get into that in a little bit, but you kind of throw a lot of your off-speed pitches the same amount of time, right? You kind of mix everything up. You mentioned the curveball, the changeup, the slider. You kind of mix a wide variety of pitches together, and I think with the knuckleball added to that, makes you a very difficult at-bat. What was the mindset behind, okay, I'm going to focus on building a wide variety of pitches to be able to attack hitters with?
I think I never really had a thought about it. It was more so just like, I think it would be harder for hitters if they got to track five pitches instead of like one or two or three maybe. So I think just keeping that hitters off balance and being a hitter in the past, I've seen it and it's tough.
Was that a difficult thing for you though to you know try to put together a five pitch arsenal or a six pitch arsenal at a time? You had to spend an equal amount of time building each different pitch.
I'd say not really, actually, because I think in college nothing really changed a lot with the fastball, the curveball, the knuckleball. So I was really only focused on the changeup and the slider for the most part, and that's kind of been the focus here as well. It's been changeup and slider focus and don't touch the fastball, don't change the curveball or the knuckleball. So, yeah, it's really been focused on two pitches.
Well, let's get into the knuckleball because I've heard you tell the story a couple times before, but it kind of just was like no one told you no to stop throwing the knuckleball. Is that how we got to this point?
That is correct, yeah.
Go into that. So, like, you were just messing around at practice one day and you were 12 or how did it happen?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how old I was, either 10 to 12, somewhere in there. It was like some all-star practice from like pony baseball. And yeah, I just started throwing it and the coaches or the dads, I guess, at that point were just like so blown away by it. And I was like, yeah, I guess it's pretty cool. And hung on to it and took it through high school, through college, and then all the way to here.
Was it a pitch you featured often in high school? Was it a major part of your high school repertoire?
Yeah, I would say it was because I didn't really throw a changeup until my senior year. So it was mainly just fastball, curveball, knuckleball. So I kind of just used that knuckleball as like a changeup, I guess. But it's like nothing the same. It's not similar to the changeup at all.
You know, a catcher in high school to figure out how to catch that knuckleball.
Yeah, we didn't really have a specific catcher for it. They just kind of tried their best, tried to keep it in front. They weren't always successful, but it was always fun to see.
What about the batter's reactions in high school when you're throwing that pitch to high schoolers? Obviously, California high school baseball is different when it comes to you're playing really good dudes out there. But still, they had to be baffled that this pitch was coming at them.
Yeah, definitely. I think even now I still get some like funny smirks or like funny looks, like what the heck was that? Even from the hitters and the umpires. So like in between innings, if the umpire's like checking me or whatever for substances, they're like, dude, you throw a knuckleball, what the heck is that? And I'm like, yeah.
And it's not a typical knuckleball because, you know, you watch guys like Tim Wakefield who throw a knuckleball 67 miles an hour. Your knuckleball is in the 80 mile an hour range. I mean, how did that even happen? How do you throw a knuckleball that hard?
I guess I never really tried to slow it down. Just try to keep the same arm speed, and now it's where it is now. So it's like crazy.
And that was a pitch you said you didn't touch it all in college. Your college coaches are like, okay, we'll just let that ride as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because they've never really seen one, and they didn't really know how to, like, coach it, I guess. So it was good when where it was.
You say you look at all your TrackMan stuff. How do you TrackMan a knuckleball? What's the spin rate on it? Zero? Like one?
TrackMan has a difficult time actually tracking it. Like, sometimes it'll say, like, 3600 spin, it's just not correct. Or like it'll be sometimes it's right, sometimes it's like 100, and then other times it's like 3400, and it's has a tough time with it.
So that must be a tough pitch, you know, to improve upon, although it is really good right now because not a lot of people see it. Do you go to, like, in the off season a knuckleball person to try to talk to, or do you just, you know, keep doing what you're doing?
I think the biggest thing is just keep doing what I'm doing. I don't think it really needs to change, at least not yet. Maybe down the road it will change, but yeah.
All right, we're getting the knuckleball stuff. That's what a lot of people hear about when they talk about Corey Lewis. But I want to know more about Corey Lewis. What is your favorite all-time baseball memory that you have?
Favorite all-time baseball memory? I would say winning the Big West my junior year at Santa Barbara is just an awesome group of guys, and it was just so much fun to play with that team throughout the whole year.
What is your favorite activity to do off the baseball field?
I would say either play golf or play video games. Probably about the same.
What video games do you play?
I've been playing The Show, and then a couple of the guys on the team, we've been playing Rainbow Six Siege lately, so that's been fun.
Like you have like a Road to the Show character named Corey Lewis, who's a pitcher in the Twin system?
Yeah, I do. He's a two-way. Yeah. He hits in that one, though. No. But I did reach out to The Show, and I got my own 99 overall card, like for Diamond Dynasty.
So that's on your team?
And they gave me a knuckleball.
They did?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. So you had it was something you reached out to them about, and they said, okay, yeah, we realize that you're a real human. We'll give you that card.
Yeah, they have, like, this form that you got to fill out, and, yeah, they eventually added it in. It's, like, 60 miles an hour, so it's kind of crazy. But
and that's something that, like, only you will have, right? So, like, when you play online, like, they know that they're playing Corey Lewis.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I think it's called, like, the real 99 cards, something like that.
So do people reach out to you, like, online if you play them? Like, can they be like, dude, does this happen when you play people online?
I actually really haven't used it that much. But, yeah, I've heard, like, Mikey Paredes has one, too, and said he's gotten some messages about it, either good or bad. But, yeah.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Alvin Cristoforo talking to Colonels pitcher Corey Lewis here on the Colonels All Year podcast presented to you by good friends over at Miracle Ear. Season's winding down here. I mean, only a couple weeks left. It's really crazy how it's gone from going fast to now going really, really fast as we wrap up the season here. What is your offseason like? I mean, you really haven't had a real one because you got drafted last offseason. Now you went straight into rookie ball. Do you have any plans to do, you know, this offseason besides, you know, trying to continue to improve?
I would like to go somewhere, like take an actual true vacation. I haven't really planned anything yet, but I feel like I haven't had like a real vacation that didn't include baseball in forever. So I'd like to do that.
Where would you want to go?
Maybe like Hawaii or like somewhere nice where I could just relax and not think about baseball for a little. I think that would be awesome.
Nothing like a Hawaii beach vacation to get your mind off baseball. So if you could travel anywhere, that's where you would go.
Yeah. Either Hawaii or even like Greece, I think would be really cool. I don't know if that would be in the plans in the off season, but I think going to Greece or even like Italy would be super cool.
If you weren't a baseball player, what do you think you'd want to go into?
Outside of sports or within sports?
Oh, sure. Anything. No baseball.
Anything. I mean, I wish I would have picked up golf at an earlier age. I think it would have made things a little bit easier now, but yeah.
As a professional, would you try to get on the tour, be a PGA pro?
Yeah, that would be awesome. It'd be pretty cool.
Golf's a little bit of a mental game, or I take that back. It's a lot of bit of a mental game. Do you feel like there's any transition to that? Like, does that help you translation to mental side of baseball, to mental side of golf? Do you feel like there's any connection there?
I feel like there could be. Yeah, just building your mental toughness overall, I guess. Like, golf will really test you. So, and I think baseball does the same. So I think they could go hand in hand if you look at it like that.
Golf and baseball. Do you feel like, I would feel like you would, you know, you're not obviously not a hitter, but the two different swings, I would feel like would get interfered with one another. When you play with hitters, do you feel like sometimes they're taking a baseball swing at the golf ball? Cause I feel like that's too close of a swing where there has to be at least some overlap there.
Oh, definitely. You could definitely see the hitters, kind of swing a little harder, more of a baseball swing, hit the ball a little farther. But sometimes it's way left, sometimes it's way right, but it's still cool to see how far they hit the ball.
And we're touching a little bit about this before we started, but a lot of the Colonels like to golf. So who are the best golfers and who are the worst golfers?
If I had to pick four v four best golfers, probably Ben Ross, Dalton Sheffield, Zebby Matthews, and maybe myself. I don't know. I feel like those top three are pretty solid at the top. And then the worst, probably going to have to go Cardenas, Fedco, Miller, and I don't know. That'll be the three.
But a lot of guys don't golf, so they're kind of like not in the – they kind of remove themselves from being in the worst golfer category.
Exactly.
Smart play by that.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly haven't seen everyone golf, so I couldn't be the best at that, but just from my observations.
Calvin Christopher, we're talking to Corey Lewis, Cardinals pitcher on the Cardinals Earlier Podcast, Season 3, Episode 10, presented by our friends over at Miracle-Ear. Okay, Corey, what has been your favorite ballpark you've played in this year, whether it be at the single-A level or here at the high-A level?
Probably Dayton. Dayton was pretty cool, just from what all they do at the stadium and then how they pack it out almost every night. It was pretty cool. They had a really good atmosphere, so that was awesome.
If you got to pick the pregame meal, what would it be?
Oh, boy. It'd be hard to go away from, like, Chipotle. But that might be bad for pregame for some people. either Chipotle or Chick-fil-A, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Just something easy.
There you go. You don't have like a specific like pregame meal that you go to every time you're on the mound or anything?
Not really. Try to mix it up sometimes. Night before a start has been Taco Bell, which is just weird, just kind of crazy. But night before
thing?
A start is almost every start. Yeah, probably 95% of the time.
Well, what's your go-to order at Taco Bell?
I get a deluxe cravings box and then with a freeze.
Taco Bell game night before, game time, Chipotle or Chick-fil-A. You keep it simple, and that's the one thing I appreciate. You and a bunch of guys on this Cardinals team, but one thing you do carry around with you, and one thing I want to ask you about, is a different catcher's mitt. Am I right in saying that is yours that you have and you keep it in your bag and with you?
Yeah, technically I got to take it everywhere I go. I don't know exactly what it is. I've heard it's like a softball catching glove, but it's way bigger than a normal catching glove. And I take that wherever I go. And then some days I forget to bring it out for my bullpens. Catchers don't really like that, but yeah.
And that's a wider, bigger catcher's mitt for the knuckleball to be able to be caught easier. Have you talked
Correct.
To your, you know, about that? Do they find it difficult to catch like the fastball with compared to the knuckleball? Because you only throw the knuckleball, you know, less than a quarter of the time. So they have to catch 3/4 of the time a different pitch than the knuckleball. Is that something weird to them that, okay, I have this to be prepared for the knuckleball, but I also have to catch a fastball with?
Yeah. I've heard that sometimes it gets a little tough on like transfers, say for running a runner stealing, just because it's like bigger. It's just hard to get their hand in there and like in the right spot. But other than that, I haven't really heard much that, you know, it's too terrible.
One of the crazy things was you were down with Andrew Cassetti in Fort Myers, and then he came here and he was probably pretty relieved that he didn't have to catch the knuckleball anymore. And then 1 week later, you're here too. What is your relationship like with him? Because he's caught you, I would assume, more than anyone else in the Twins organization.
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good relationship. I mean, me and him go golfing on Mondays. And then on the baseball side, I don't know if he likes catching me that much, because I guess I bring down his pass ball percentage just because of the knuckleballs. So there's that. But I think we have a pretty good time on the mound and behind the plate in our respective positions.
There's only a couple weeks left in the season, you know, besides the obvious answer of just wanting to improve and continue to get better. What are some of your goals for these last remaining 6 weeks or so?
Just continue the path that I'm on, I guess. Just try to stay as consistent as I can, stick to my routines, and keep dealing with what I'm doing.
One of the consistent questions we like to end with here as we run out of time on the Cardinals Earlier Podcast is the infamous bus question. Now, this has been going around with all the guys that have been on the podcast. We've had some different answers. A lot of people used to go one way, now they've changed their answer the other way. They second-guess themselves often when they ask this, but the bus question is, when the bus breaks down, if the bus breaks down, the bus driver's not able to drive the bus anymore, what teammate would you trust the most to drive the bus from point A to point B?
Oh, boy. I think Zebby would be a pretty trustworthy person to throw behind the wheel. Maybe even Malik, I think. But yeah, I think those two guys would be my top two for bus number one and bus number two.
Those are two new answers. The only thing that's been consistent is nobody has any faith in any single position player to drive the bus.
It's all I agree. That's crazy.
Even the hitters, like Cardenas went Rimmel. I think Ross went, maybe, yeah, Ross went, I forgot who Ben went, but Rimmel went Stankiewicz. You go Malik and you go Zebby. So it's been a pitcher's task to do. Okay, who would you now trust the least to drive that bus?
The least? Oh, boy. Jarrell. I think Jarrell might put our lives in danger. But, yeah.
Well, there you go. Jarrell's not driving the bus when the Colonels go on the road. Stankiewicz, Barrington, or Zebby Matthews might Rimmel in the conversation as well. But that's Corey Lewis and the Colonels Only Podcast, Season 3, Episode number 10. Corey, once again, I can't thank you enough for the time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Cedar Rapids and Lansing open up a 6-game series. We'll get you that on MILB TV and, of course, on the Bally Live app. Cedar Rapids, Colonels All Ear Podcast, Season 3, Episode number 11, coming out soon. Thanks for listening to this production of the Colonels All Ear Podcast, presented by Miracle Ear.
Choosing Miracle Ear was a great decision, like when I decided to host family movie nights. Miracle Ear made it easy. I just booked an appointment, and a certified hearing care professional evaluated my hearing loss and helped me find the right device calibrated to my unique hearing needs. Now I enjoy every moment, the quiet ones and the loud ones.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.